All right, Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. It's moving on into November. It's getting cold out there. And this is a follow-up on the state of the world. Every once in a while, I'll sit down and I'll go, you know, all these individual facts are interesting. But the more interesting story is the broad picture that an accumulation of facts creates. Trees are interesting, but the forest is more interesting to me. So I wanted to go over a few things and talk about a general trend in the world. It's not a healthy trend. It's a bad trend. Everybody knows it. We sense it. Yet we're told it's not happening. We're told things are getting better, but things are getting markedly worse. Let's go through a few of them. There's a drive toward an international bureaucratic control. Saw that with COVID. COVID was largely an invented crisis. The disease itself was invented. And the cure was magically right at their fingertips. And statistically, it appears that the vaccine is more deadly than the COVID in the first place. And then, of course, you can't talk about that. So we have a man-made, created a global crisis that demanded a universal vaccination by basically everybody on the planet. And it turns out the vaccination is more deadly than the disease itself. All run by the World Health Organization, a CDC, unelected bureaucrats, people that we don't even know. They're doing this with health and medicine, they do with food, and it's all for our own good. Unelected bureaucrats making decisions for us. Number two, there's a wholesale suppression of ideas. It came out not too long ago that DHS was working directly with the big tech firms, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Twitter, to actively suppress certain ideas. That's called a totalitarian society. People need to wake up and realize that that alone is a totalitarian society. When the government suppresses free speech, working hand in glove with the large corporations. It's funny, it used to be, once upon a time, Nazi Germany was described as fascist because the government and the businesses worked together in order to control society. Boy, we sure have that in the United States today, don't we? We sure have that in the United States today. And then you look at all these electric cars, you go, who's pushing electric cars? Not the consumers. Different story. But it's the same thing. We're no longer in control. We're not even in control of our own ideas. Get this organization called the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab, he gets massive amounts of press. His ideas are reproduced around the world on a regular basis. The Global Reset, the Great Reset, new way of doing things. We're going to have international solutions because they're global problems. Well, how convenient for those that want to accumulate power away from you and I, we the people. It's an international problem. So we need international solutions. And you're not going to elect the people that run the international realm. Nobody elected the WHO. Even if you go down to the European Union, the people that make decisions in the European Union are notably unresponsive to what the public wants. They're notably out of their grasp. They're notably autonomous actors. Shrouded in a cloud of, well, they were democratically elected, yet they probably weren't. Guarantee if that was the case, you'd have more people trying to get out of the EU. Suppression of ideas. There was a headline with Business Insider I saw today or yesterday saying that the ideas out there, there's too many free ideas. It's very dangerous for society. You can't make this stuff up. Drive towards, demand censorship. For your own good, for the safety of society, we demand censorship. Elections. You know, my entire life, I've been voting since, I don't know, for a long time now. Elections are always decided in the evening. You vote all day. By midnight, you know the results. Wow, now it's 2 or 3 weeks. And with COVID, they changed the rules and said, well, we're going to do massive mail-in balloting. Well, what does that do? It guarantees massive fraud. You don't have to show up anymore. So you get ballot harvesting. people filling out ballots for you. Here's $20. I'll fill out your ballot, or $5. And that works great in these urban areas. Doesn't work so great in the rural areas, because people out in the rural areas seem to have a little different mindset than a lot of the people in urban areas. Massive fraud. We don't even know the beginning of the fraud. How many congressmen have gone to Congress in penury with nothing, very modest income, and they come out multi-millionaires? And nobody's talking about this. The press won't talk about it. The press is largely controlled now. We don't have a free press. Anytime there's a free press that comes up, there's demands to crush that free press. Gab is a perfect example of that. I said, well, that's not really a press. That's like a Twitter competitor. And there's been massive attempts to shut down Gab. Banks, if you can't do it legally, you do it through, you put the pressure on the banks. Banks are a cartel. Banks start canceling accounts for people like Mike Lindell or Andrew Torba that maybe speak against the narrative. They become political dissidents, intellectual dissidents. Well, you can't do that. You can't have that idea. You can't work here if you have those ideas, Fritz. You guys got to go back and read the book of Acts. I posted something the other day, and it talks about certain people, Talmud people. They hated people that spoke against the lies of the Talmud. Hated them. So they went around and they stirred up different groups of people. They stirred up prominent people, and they stirred up the rabble. They stirred up important politicians or leaders. They stirred up businessmen, and they stirred up the rabble to go against Paul and Peter and John. It's right there in the book of Acts. I got news for you. Nothing's changed. The Word of God is eternal. It's forever. So if you go through and read the book of Acts, in fact, I have a post up on this. I think I did it at bloodandfaith.com. Probably also on Gab, my Gab feed as well. And look over and over and over in the book of Acts. You have the Talmud people actively working to suppress the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they even if they don't have the legal power to do it, they'll go up and they'll stir up the rabble, stir up business people, wealthy people, women of prominence, and they'll stir up the political leadership in order to suppress ideas. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. A church is sitting around waiting for a rapture, and the Holy Scriptures tells you exactly what's going on, what's always been going on. Number four, massive fraud, massive financial fraud. So with the collapse of this, I don't know what this, some sort of financial organization, FTX, turns out that all these billions and billions of dollars that we've been sending to Ukraine, that the Democrats, for the most part, have demanding, that the president has been demanding, well, it gets sent to Ukraine. They sent the money to this company called FTX, and FTX turned around and donated money back to the very politicians that voted to give the money to Ukraine in the first place. That's theft. It's fraud. It's corruption to the tune of billions and billions of dollars. And it's not just Democrats. Mitch McConnell received $2.5 million from this FTX corporation, according to the press report I read this morning. It's not just the D's. It's the R's, too. The R's are just as corrupt. In fact, they're worse because they shroud themselves in righteousness, and they're just as evil as the biggest D's out there. They're just as evil as, you know, pick your favorite Democrat. So all this stuff, oh, we got to support Ukraine. All billions of your money, your tax dollar money, sent to Ukraine in cash, no accountability for it. It gets funneled through FTX, and FTX turns around and donates all that money back to these politicians. How do you like that? You live in a free country? Do you live in a free country? And guess what? Guess what's going to be done about that? Nothing. Nothing's going to be done about that. What was done about the FBI? Well, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Our government institutions, utterly corrupt. All right? FBI suppresses the evidence on Hunter Biden's laptop for months and months and months before the 2020 election in order to favor Biden? Yeah, that's what happened. The FBI created the Russia hoax, and strung that along for 4 years under President Trump's administration in order to hamper him, in order to hamstring him. And then right then they said, oh, yeah, never mind. It was all a hoax in the first place. What's going to be done about that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing's going to be done about that. They're in power. They're staying in power. Intelligence agencies doing the same thing. What's going to be done about the fact that the FBI was part and parcel instigating, planning, coordinating, and promoting the plan to kidnap a governor, Whitmer? Turns out they're FBI informants, they're FBI stooges creating this thing, creating the problem, publicizing the problem, solving the problem, and then demonizing people that weren't even the leaders of it. Demonizing half of America, saying, oh, this is the radical right. What's going to happen to the FBI people or other federal agencies that were promoting situation on January 6th? You got that one guy out there, Ray Epps. FBI said, well, he wasn't with the FBI. Well, who was he with then? And he's not in jail. He's not in jail with the January 6ers. And he's the guy you could see on video the day before and the day of encouraging people to be violent and to break into the Capitol. And so you've got government agencies that are creating the crimes in order to frame a good section of America. I mean, whatever happened to Epstein Island? All right, so Epstein dies under mysterious circumstances. Saint Maxwell is in prison until it will be convenient to let her out. Where is everybody that went to Epstein Island? Where are they? They're protected. Why are they protected? It's a big club and you and I aren't in it. They'll come after us. They'll invent crimes to come after us, but they'll protect their own. Where's the FBI going after the Antifa leadership? Oh, no, it's just a sentiment out there. They're just expressing their political opinions. So it's deep. When you look at the overall state, it's deep and it's really bad. And it's not trending towards getting better at all, not even remotely. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. With this techno surveillance, you don't have the ability to protect yourself. Every molecule that goes in and out of your computer, in and out of your phone, in and out of your bank account is checked and monitored. And I'm sure they've got the ability to make it look like you did something bad if you didn't. Happens all the time. It used to be in the movies, police would have throw down guns. Oh, we shot the dude. Okay, well, here's a spare gun. We'll throw it down there. Oh, look, he had a gun. He pulled a gun on us. How much easier is that to do electronically? I'd say it's pretty easy. And then you take somebody like me. Hey, I'm going to speak. I have no option but to speak. There is the Great Commission. It says you're going to go out there and you're going to declare what Jesus Christ declared. You're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's for all Christians. That's not just for some select group. It's for all Christians. And so we have to open up our mouth and speak. You don't think we become targets? Of course we're targets. We become targets. So this isn't good. So what's the solution to this? Well, the solution is not to go back and try to build a house on the sand. The solution to all this ultimately is the monarchy of Jesus Christ. And I'll go back and, in fact, why don't I do that? I'm going to pull up Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to go through how it worked. All right, Daniel chapter 2. King has a dream. Daniel interprets it. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you. And its appearance was awesome. The head of the statue was made of fine gold, its breast and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and the feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay, and it crushed them. And the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed. All at the same time, it became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became great and filled the whole mountain. That stone is Jesus Christ. He's the stone of stumbling. He's the rock of offense. Whoever falls upon him will be crushed. And if it falls on anyone, including this great statue of man, it's going to be turned into dust. It's the same thing, guys. It's the same thing. Jesus Christ was essentially talking about Daniel chapter 2. If you fall on a rock, it'll be broken. The rock falls and you're going to turn it into dust. The wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found, but the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell you its interpretation before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom God has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he's given them into your hand, and caused you to rule over them. You're the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom, as strong as iron, and as much as iron shatters all things. So like iron that breaks its pieces, it will crush and break all of these in pieces. In that you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. But it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. As the toes and the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men. But they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. All right. That's the picture of world history. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. All right, so there you go. Christian nations, whether it's before Jesus Christ returns or after he returns, it doesn't matter. The work is going to be the same. We're going to build individuals, families, clans, tribes, and nations loyal to Jesus Christ. And the foundational law and philosophy of those notions, it will be the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are eternal. And the first and the third commandment point directly to Jesus Christ. All right, Daniel chapter 7. Why am I talking about this? It's important to point this out. The world provides a narrative. The world provides a skewed narrative, a false narrative, an inverted narrative. And people think their thoughts within that narrative. And what the church has to do is go out there and wrestle that narrative away from them. We need to create a narrative in which, no, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to increase. There shall be no end to the increase of his government, of the government of Jesus Christ. We're going to disciple nations. We have the only alternative there is. It's Jesus Christ or it's the Antichrist. And we got to capture the mind, first of all, of the church. So the church understands this. So the church can preach the gospel of the kingdom. And we can prepare the way of the Lord. The church has to believe this first. And then they can go out and they can tell the world, look, this is what you're doing is wrong. And you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong in your gut. First, we've got to capture the minds of the church, the minds of Christians everywhere. because right now the church has reduced the gospel of Jesus Christ so much that it's even the church doesn't know what to do with it. Even the church doesn't know if it's any good. So they sit around and they say, you know, we're going to justify our own lack of success, have a doctrine where the Antichrist takes over, and then we fly away. Yay us. We're the only ones that get off the sinking ship. And yeah, the Antichrist already rules. You're right. But he already rules. And it's our job to fight back. It's our job to open our mouths. How do we overcome the world? By the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. Not loving our lives even unto death, and by the blood of the Lamb. All right? Our job is to go out there and speak and declare the truth of Jesus Christ, whether or not anybody wants to hear it, whether or not the church wants to hear it. It's funny how Christians get offended by the idea of Christian nations. I mean, you would have think they were like, yeah, we're going to build Christian nations where the foundation is the Ten Commandments. Because the alternative is the present. The alternative is the world that we live in now. We already live in a totalitarian society where a man can't keep a job because he has wrong political and religious thoughts. That's where we are in 2022. And they'll be singled out and attacked and destroyed for having the wrong religious thoughts, moral thoughts, philosophical thoughts, having biblical ideas that come out of the Holy Scriptures. And there's a lot of people, you know, Gab's under attack, InfoWars under attack. And you can say, well, you know, Alex Jones, you know, he said the wrong thing. Fine. How many times have I said the wrong thing? How many times has Joe Biden said the wrong thing? It's selective prosecution. It's selective persecution. I mean, which one of the FBI agents is going to be sued for $1 billion because they fomented a Russia hoax that didn't just affect 20 families, but 350 million Americans and the rest of the world for that matter? How come they're not sued for $1 billion? How come they're not in jail? How come somebody like Hillary Clinton gets a pass when she destroys evidence? And then General Flynn gets thrown in jail for a process crime. I mean, you put anybody on a stand or you interrogate them long enough, you're gonna trip them up. So it's all selective. All right, Daniel chapter 7. Talks about four beasts. Four different beasts come along. The fourth beast is different. I've talked about how beasts are the world empires. Fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong, had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. So you have the similarities to Daniel chapter 2. It was different from all the beasts. And then he says, I kept looking until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days came and took his seat. And behold, one with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. Okay, let me reread that for those Christians out there that don't want Christian nations. To him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and men of every tongue might serve him. That all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Okay, that's the same rock in Daniel chapter 2. His kingdom is one which will never end. It will never be destroyed. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. All the peoples, all the nations, men of every language will serve him. It's a kingdom which will not pass away, and it's one which will not be destroyed. That's the kingdom we're building. That's the kingdom we're building. If one doesn't believe this, how does one resist? If one doesn't believe this, how does one resist? If one believes this, we have great joy. And we can open our mouth with boldness and declare the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. and say, no, we're going to build Christian nations. This is the narrative. This is the grand narrative. Now, when you strip the Holy Scriptures out of a society, you end up where we are today because people don't know which way's up. They're captured by a different narrative. The narrative of CNN, the narrative of MSNBC, the narrative of the New York Times, the narrative of the ADL, the narrative of the left-wing teachers' unions. And you come out and you talk about what the Holy Scriptures say, and people are aghast and amazed. And they got people leaning over their shoulders saying, you can't believe it. That's racist and sexist and anti-Semitic. Somewhere along the line, Christendom lost the narrative of the Holy Scriptures. And I've traced that before. Goes back a good 300 years. Rise of atheism. The rise of these false ideas. The idea that entropy works in reverse, which is what evolution is. Reverse entropy, which is not scientific at all. The idea that kinds don't reproduce after their own kind, but they can just morph into different kinds. Completely anti-scriptural. And even the church has lost it. The church doesn't believe it anymore. You got churches out there saying, yeah, evolution's fine. And next thing you know, everybody's saved and God loves everybody. And, you know, there's no need for Jesus Christ to have died on the cross. I mean, it's nice that he did, they will say. Oh, wasn't that cute of him? That was so nice of him. Thank you. I'll take a piece of free heaven candy just to make you feel better, Jesus. Even the church has come down to have that idea. It's patronizing. Patronizing to Jesus Christ. Let's keep looking at this. So Danny says, look, man, this is amazing. This dream and this vision was completely amazing. I what's going on here? I don't understand this. This fourth beast was really something. Danny says, I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. Okay. Well, that's helpful to understand that. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 21. I kept looking, and the horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. Favor of the saints of the highest one. Who are the saints of the highest one? So it's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and confessing with her mouth that Jesus Christ was the Lord, and believing in her heart that he rose from the dead. Those are the saints of the Most High. Who's the Most High? It's Jesus Christ. And time, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. The saints took possession of the kingdom. We've created a modern evangelical theology, eschatology, where the saints don't take possession of the kingdom. The saints just, you know, fly away. And making somebody else's problem. Our job is to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. To declare a different narrative. And there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ, not just for your eternal soul, but for the politics of your nation. Outside of the truth of Jesus Christ, there's no hope. And the dark future that's coming upon you is gonna come on real fast. Imagine a day when it's illegal to grow your own food. Where I live now, you're not even supposed to collect rainwater. Imagine that. All the rainwater is supposed to go to some big corporate buyer that's controlled by God knows who, not you and I. And we've seen with the whole avian flu, there's just this massive effort to get rid of people's, you know, small farms. You can't have chickens. Chickens are dangerous for society. Can't raise a pig. It's dangerous for society. Can't have a garden because we can't control what's in your seeds. Why do you think they're letting wolves out in the wilderness? It's not because they like wolves. They want to drive out independent farmers and ranchers. Drive out the independent ranchers. They want the wolves to prey on the deer and elk so men can't go out there and harvest their own meat. It's got nothing to do with the wolves. Got nothing to do with a pretty little cute wolf out there. It's to destroy a way of life. I'm telling you. It's got nothing to do because they love the wolves. They can watch National Geographic and look at wolves all day long. They don't go out in the wilderness to look at wolves. They ain't doing that. It's to destroy a way of life. Nice cover story. Nice deception. If the church is going to have any hope at all, it has to get back to the Holy Scriptures. It has to get back to the book of Acts. And when I was growing up, many decades of my life, the book of Acts, it's about miracles or speaking in tongues or revival. Oh, we want a church that looks like the book of Acts. Go look at who the bad guys are in the book of Acts. Oh, no, we can't have that. That would be anti-Semitic. And you substitute your man-made traditions above the Word of God. Okay, this is exactly what Jesus Christ railed against. I want to say it's Luke chapter 7, but definitely Matthew chapter 15. The Talmud people came up to him and said, how come you don't obey the precepts of the elders? Jesus says, how come you ignore the law and the prophets in order to elevate your own man-made traditions? This is what it comes down to, folks. It's exactly what it comes down to. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. People elevate their man-made traditions over the Word of God. And they come up with things, and they reinterpret things, and they reinvent things when it says right there what is. Oh, no, but we can't do that because somebody will call us a dirty name. I had a long talk with one of my sons the other day, and we're talking about racism. And, you know, unless you have an intellectual understanding of the tricks they use, you're always going to be captured by it. And I said, son, look at it this way. Me and my wife, we have four kids. My four kids are worth more to me than anybody else's kids. I love my kids more than anybody else's kids. I favor my kids more than anybody else's kids. Is that wrong? They said, no, that's not wrong. I said, well, but that's the foundation of the term racism, favoring some kids over the others. And I said, it will never change. I will always favor my parents over somebody else's parents, my children over somebody else's parents. And you extend that out to grandparents and grandchildren and cousins and aunts and uncles, nephews and nieces, preferring your in-group. Oh, you can't do that. Well, it's funny how only a certain group of people can't do that, but other groups, it's encouraged. In fact, that's the foundation of their whole social organization. Talmud people come to mind. The LDS comes to mind, for that matter. Favoring the in-group. And if a white man says, hey, you know what? I'm proud of my race. I'm proud of my ancestors. I'm proud of my offspring. I'm proud of my descendants. That's racist, but all the other groups... I mean, go look at Wakanda. And God bless the Wakandans. God bless them. I mean, I'm great. But you got to figure out what's going on. Otherwise, you're always trapped. You're always trapped. And what they want to do is they want to reduce all these God-created organizations, the family, so that they have total power. It's not just borders and nations they want to get rid of. They want to get rid of genders too. And then you got to go figure out who's behind it. Who's behind all this stuff? Well, go read the book of Acts. Go figure out who the Antichrist is. All right, to change this is not about tinkering around the edges. They are happy with people tinkering around the edge. They'll push back just enough to make people think they're going to make a difference. I'm not talking about tinkering around the edges. I'm talking about a whole new understanding of how we understand the Holy Scriptures and how we understand ourselves as Christians and how we understand our duty to our monarch, Jesus Christ, our monarch. He's not a religious figure that lives between your ears and in your heart somewhere. He's the supreme monarch of planet Earth. He's the God Emperor of Earth. He's the creator of Earth. And our job is to be loyal to him. Loyal in speech, loyal in action. That's our job. And to promulgate and propagate a narrative, we call it the gospel, a narrative that captures the minds of men. And to promote the Holy Scriptures, not just John 3:16. how many times in the Greek scriptures does it talk about being born again? I think there's one place. Talks more about the Antichrist than being born again. Yet we build a little temple around being born again, which is very important. Don't deny it at all. No denying it whatsoever. But we'll ignore whole themes of the Greek scriptures because it's going to offend somebody out there. That ain't boldness. That ain't courage. That's not a Christian virtue. I told my son, being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. It's never been a Christian virtue. And I know, somebody can trot out a scripture that says, try not to offend anybody. And I can trot out some scriptures right back at you. The disciples went to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, you're offending them. You're offending the Talmud people. You're offending the propagators of the Talmud. Jesus says they're blind. They're blind guides. They're going to fall into a pit, and anybody that follows them will fall into the pit. Being inoffensive is not a Christian virtue. I'm sure Pharaoh was greatly offended when Moses showed up. Clearly, the Pharisees, the Talmud people, were very offended by Jesus Christ, so offended that they killed him. Oh, you can't say that. That will offend them. Go read Acts chapter 7. Again, nothing's changed. Same characters, same tactics, techniques, and procedures. The Word of God is eternal. The book of Acts is eternal. The foe is eternal. Jesus Christ himself at the fall said, I will cause enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I'm going to put the enmity there. And the church runs around, oh, there's no enmity. We're all the sons of God. We're all children of God. We're all the faith of Abraham. They contradict Jesus Christ. They contradict God Almighty. And God says, I will put enmity there. Jesus Christ shows up, boom, immediate enmity. Immediate and total enmity between him and the teachers of the traditions of men, which becomes the Talmud. And then who are these Talmud folks? Who are these Talmud folks? My own language about this has changed. And this is probably for a different podcast. I've touched on it here and there. But I will tell you this. Antichrist has been around for 2,000 years. Never went away. And you're waiting for him to show up? Read 1 John. Read 2 John. 2 John 7 through 9. Read 1 John 2:22. This is the Antichrist. Not this will be. This is. This is. This is. He who rejects the Father and the Son. 2 John, it says, this is the Antichrist. He who denies that the Christ, the Redeemer, has already come in the flesh. All right, so I mean, you know, it's right there. It's there for anybody to read and accept if they but would. Figure out who Jesus had aught with. Figure out who Jesus Christ had deep-seated enmity with. Don't you want to be like Jesus? All right. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.